Okay, I've been having allergies lately, so bear with me with my voice, but I'm not going to read the first scripture. I was going to start with Matthew before I got into the notes, with Matthew 14, 22, and 23, so I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. This is the story of Peter and Jesus in the boat, the disciples in the boat, and Jesus comes out walking on the water and kind of freaked them all out, right? They're all like, oh, what's going on? He's a ghost. What's going on? They're totally freaked out, but Peter is strategic, right? Peter's like, wait a minute, this is pretty cool. If this is really Jesus, which he's starting to really believe this is the Son of God, right? Peter's getting it. This is really Jesus, and he's walking on the water. And I know he's flesh and blood because I'm with him every day. Then this might be an opportunity for me to walk on the water, right? So he says, can I, come on on. So Peter walks out. He starts walking on the water, and we know the story very well. You've heard many sermons on it, right? And he starts sinking. As soon as he stopped focusing on Jesus and started focusing on the waves, right, and the storm. And then he starts to sink. And Jesus right away relates that to faith. Right? Jesus is like, you're sinking because you're losing focus. You're sinking because you're losing your faith. You looked at me. You were all excited. Jesus can walk on the water, then he's got the power to make me walk on the water. And so he walks on the water, but then he gets distracted. And so Jesus relates that to faith. So Peter did something extraordinarily amazing, right? I don't know of any other story of a man walking on water that's not the Son of God. Except for Peter. I don't know. Maybe I missed that Bible story, but I don't remember reading it. Right? So Peter did something amazing that no one else could do. And I'm going to leave that story there, and I'll refer to it in a little bit. But let me read my introduction here, and we'll... Reminder to write a thought down. Right? Every week, I want to encourage you to write a thought down on a pad like this, or a piece of paper, and you put it in your Bible or your phone. But write a thought down, because I really believe that when you write these thoughts down, it's a way that God speaks to you and reveals things to you. I really do believe that, and I want to encourage you to do that. It's been 5 weeks since I last preached. The last time that happened in this church was in the year 2012. Think about that. 2012, I think in 2013 I preached a lot, almost every week. And in 2014 I started pastoring. And I don't think I've ever had 5 weeks straight without preaching. It felt really, really good, by the way, just so you know. Yeah, just like being able to focus on something besides, what are you saying to the people, Lord, right now, I need a sermon, I need something. So we let Michelle and Joseph and Eloy stress out about all that for a few weeks. And I got an extra bonus week when Pastor Mario was going to vacation in the island. I said, come on and preach, you're right here. So that was awesome. As you can tell, I'm happy about that. But I love preaching, but it was good to have a break. And this was possible because we have great ministry leaders. And our ministry leaders believe that they are destined to be great for Christ. They won't admit it out loud. I know they believe that. I know that they can see there's something bigger going on than their own little thing. And I see that in Eloy. I see that in Joseph, Michelle, and Alyssa. And when they put sermons together, I know that their heart is that each and every one of you in this place receive word and keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. When they're putting their thoughts together, they're thinking, what do I have to say to the church to help them keep growing? Right? I know that they know this great ministry leaders team we have. It doesn't mean they're perfect. Don't get too excited. Right? I'm sure they have their own, you know, imperfections. But what makes a difference is that they know that they're destined for something bigger than themselves. I know Eloy knows that. I know Joseph knows that. Michelle knows that. And Alyssa. The last five sermon titles were, How Could We Not Believe? By Alyssa. After everything God's done for us to get us to this point, how can we not believe? Sometimes I just want to give my testimony again and go all the way back. Maybe we should do that again one day, but it's a long story, so we don't have time today. But after I seen God do so much in my life, and Alyssa shared that, how can we not believe how good he is? I love that. That was a great sermon. And then we also heard the dream worker is working on your behalf. How many of you, God's on your side? And he's working on your behalf? And you know, that is all good, but working on your behalf also, it also involves discipline, right? We don't like to think about it that way, but it does, right? He's working on your behalf to make you awesome. And then we heard about the leadership of the Lord from Joseph. Just follow his leadership, right? It was like today, right? Let him take control. The leadership of the Lord is awesome. He will lead you if you listen, right? And then we heard Michelle say, preach on take courage in your burdens. Notice how all these sermon titles are about trying to lift you up. Take courage, you know, follow the leading of the Lord. And know that God's working on your behalf. The dream worker is working on your dreams. These were great messages. And then we heard Pastor Mario last week, the flawed prophet, Jonah. These were great messages. They were great because each one of them was delivered with a heart to help us, to help people grow, with a heart that wants people to grow strong in the Lord. When I talk to other pastors, one of the most common questions that comes up is this: how do we lead people to become leaders or to become great in God's kingdom, right? When we say leaders, we don't necessarily mean the pastor or the worship leader. You can be a leader in what people don't even recognize as anything major. You can be a leader in organizing something that is not an official title in the church, right? You can be a leader like Thor and Joe took the lead on ordering shirts, right? So when I say leader, a lot of times you're thinking, you know, ministers. But what I mean here is taking the lead to do something great or to do something for the kingdom of God. So we ask, how do we get people to become these leaders that do great things for God? That's one of the common questions I ask pastors when they come and visit, and we talk about. How do we lead people to grow to their full potential in Christ? And the answer is really, really not simple. Even Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, verses, people that can lead something for some positive move of the kingdom of God, whether it's ordering shirts or organizing this or doing that, whatever it may be. Even Jesus himself noticed this. How do we get laborers? And of course, his answer was pray. Pray, right? Pray ye therefore that there would come forth laborers. So when pastors get together, you know, we talk about you, just like you talk about me. I know you do, right? Because you're human beings. Just make sure your negative talk doesn't go into sedition, right, where you're like going against the pastor. You know, it's okay. Pastor has flaws. You can have these conversations on the dinner table or like that. But know that my heart is, I want the best for everyone. I want you all to grow, and I know that's the heart of our leaders. I want you to grow. And sometimes we all have different tacks, right, different ways that we come across. The pastor may not shake your hand, or Michelle may have not said hi, or Joseph may have had a bad day and looked bad that day at you. And but don't focus on that. Focus on the positive in people. But we ask this question, how do we develop? And Jesus asked the same thing, or he noticed the same thing. And in the other version of this, of that scripture, Jesus, it actually says that he wept, that he cried when he looked at the harvest and knew there was no leaders, no laborers. He actually wept. is how you grow people to their full potential in Christ. I couldn't find that sermon. I Googled it. And it's just not there. There's ideas, there's thoughts. And you know why I think I can't find exactly what I'm looking for? Because the truth is that your full potential in Christ can only be achieved when you decide to believe in you. This is big. I hope you wrote that down. That was a good one. Your full potential in Christ can only be achieved when you decide to believe in you. When you decide to believe that God is going to use your gifts and talents to impact the harvest for God's kingdom, then you will be that. What Jesus was looking for, laborers. What pastors are looking for, laborers. Right? It's time to believe in you. We're going to do a series about that general. It's time to believe. And we're starting with you. There's a lot of things that it's time to believe for. But number one, it's time to believe in yourself. It's time to believe in yourself. I'm going to read you a story. There is a story of a professor who stood before his class of 30 seniors in molecular biology. That sounds like a tough class, right? Molecular biology. I can't even pronounce it. That's how tough the class is. Students at Purdue University. Before passing out the final semester exam, he said, "I have been privileged to be your instructor this semester, and I know how hard you have worked to prepare for this test. I also know most of you are off to medical school or graduate school this spring. I am well aware of how much pressure you are under to keep your grade point averages up. Because I am confident that you know this material, I am prepared to offer an automatic grade of a B to anyone who opts to skipping this final exam." Whoa. How many of you would take that? Don't answer that. An automatic B. The relief was audible. Wow. A number of students jumped up from their desks, thanking the professor for the lifeline he had just thrown them. And the professor says, "Any other takers out there? This is your last opportunity before I pass out this test." One more student decided to accept the B. The freebie. The instructor then handed out the final exam, which consisted of two sentences. It read, "Congratulations, you have just received an A in this class." And the second sentence, "Keep believing in yourself." It was a just reward for the students who had worked hard and believed they were going to ace that test. I really believe God wants us to understand this morning. Believe in yourself. Believe that you're great. Believe that you are chosen to do amazing things for His kingdom in your busy life. Do you believe in yourself today? That's the question. So if you look at your notes, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, the very first and only underline, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Well, the scripture tells us that you are more than a conqueror. What that means, when somebody comes and conquers the city, they take over, they pretty much take over. And the Bible says, you that are in Christ Jesus, you are more than someone who conquers. Well, that's a good reason to believe in yourself. But do you believe it? Do you believe that you are more than a conqueror? Not just, "Oh yeah, I believe it's in the Bible." No, do you believe you are more than a conqueror? Do you believe you are destined to do amazing things for the kingdom of God? Or do you believe you just show up to Sunday morning and you'll squeak into heaven? And great, that was the plan. I can guarantee you that it's not God's plan for you to come in Sunday mornings and squeak into heaven. You won't read that in Jesus' statements, right? He's like, take your cross, follow me, die so you can live. That doesn't sound like squeak by. Does it sound like squeak by to you? It doesn't sound like it to me. So number one, you are more than a conqueror. Believe in you because the Bible says, look at what the Bible says in your notes. You can see it there, Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline and a sound mind. Why should we be fearful in life if God is on our side? Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? All three of these verses are connected to a person having a relationship with the Lord. Very important. I'm saying all of this. You can believe in yourself. God's with you. There's scriptures here that tell you you can do all things. You're more than a conqueror. These scriptures are there. They're evident. But none of that is really real without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, it is time to believe in you because God believes in you. God believes in you. However, this truth won't come to pass because you go to church or you have the best pastor, right? Everybody, right? Or you know how to pray beautifully. I know I'm not the best pastor, by the way. It's okay. You didn't offend me. You know how to pray beautifully, so everything's going to just work out. These things, these promises, the fact that you're more than a conqueror, the fact that you are destined for greatness, these things don't just happen. You have to choose, like this morning, to let God take control. That's why that was so awesome this morning. It's like you got to kick started. Like, I'm ready. I'm going to let God take control of many things in my life. Now you're ready for the next step. And it's to believe in you and to trust that God's going to do amazing things through you. And this stuff will only come to pass when you believe you are great and you start living and taking action that great men and women take. What are the actions that great actions taken in your notes? It says actions taken by great men and women of God who believe they are destined to be great for Christ. Right? One of the actions Peter did in the boat story is he took a step outside the boat and in the water. Those are actions of someone who's going to do great things for the Lord. What does that mean for you? If you just get in a comfortable little chair and you want to serve the Lord, there's a nice and comfy little chair, and that's all you really want is to be comfy, you're not going to do great things for the Lord. So Peter took a step outside of comfort into water because he saw greatness. If you want to be great, you got to start taking actions like great leaders of men and women of God take. And that is, you got to be willing to be a little uncomfortable. Right? When you begin to say, Pastor, I'm willing to help in this area, or Pastor, I'm willing to help in this area, guess what? It's very uncomfortable. It is very uncomfortable. You know, Brother Cassiano's helping us with the Bible studies. That was a step outside the boat, you know. Because everything's not going to work out perfectly. Home life, grandchildren, children, you know, it's hard. But when you begin to see greatness, you being used for greatness, right, Pastor, I'm going to invite more people that only know Spanish to go. Awesome, Bob, great. Like, don't worry. He has the vision, right? He has the passion. That's a leader. See, that's what I'm talking about. Leadership is not just, okay, you're officially now the Sunday school leader of this or that. Or no, leadership is taking whatever you can do and leading to do something great for his kingdom. And in that sense, we're basically all leaders in his kingdom, laborers. So, what kind of things do great men and women of God do? We always want to start with the four spiritual principles. Great men and women of God put into action praying every day. You're going to hear this from for a long time, at least while I'm pastor of this church. Praying every day is like drinking water every day. Amen? If you need to drink water, or some of you drink too much Diet Coke and coffee, that's another story. You need to drink something to hydrate yourself. If you don't understand, you know how you start feeling a little woozy and dizzy if you get dehydrated? In the spirit realm, it's exactly the same thing. When you don't pray and when you don't have that daily encounter with God, you start getting woozy spiritually. Great men and women of God don't have to be reminded to pray every day. Okay, for some of you, that's stepping out of the boat. That's uncomfortable. Don't you know how busy my life is? Don't you know I got to do this for the kids? I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. Don't you know that I don't have time for that? And it's actually the other way around. Don't you know you can't afford not to have time for that? Because it is like water, living water. Now, when you begin to take this action, you're stepping out of the boat, right? Because you're making a commitment. Some of you make commitments today, making a commitment that no matter how my day goes, no matter what happens, I'm going to take some time to just get away and pray. Sometimes the prayer is going to seem like it just bounced off the wall. Sometimes the prayer is going to seem like, whoa, God heard me. Awesome. And sometimes it's going to go like, I heard God. Awesome. But no matter what, be faithful. Be faithful, because that's what great men and women do. They take these kind of actions. The second one, read your Bible every day. The Bible is the word, is the lamp, right? The lamp unto our feet. The Bible is the guide. If you don't know where to start, then you can always just start with the book of Romans, because that pretty much tells you everything there about Christian living, about how you're righteous, how you're right standing before God, and how just it's a good chapter for if you just want a good Christian way to live. Instructions on that. Number three, great men and women of God not to go through trials if we could avoid them. Of course, we're human beings. We don't like stress. But men and women of God who believe in themselves, who believe they're destined for greatness, understand that trials are necessary and trials build character and build you to become great. That's a good one too. You can write that down. Trials build you to become great. Trials build you to become great. And here are some verses. Trust in God, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's a good scripture. Trust God. Trust him no matter what. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God's on your side. God is on your side. The third one, Romans 8, 37 and 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Faith that God will never leave you. You can be in the trial that you're going through. Always know that God is with you and he will never leave you. You're just being refined and perfected. Believe in yourself. Even in trials. Just because a trial hit, I guess I'm just going to hide in the corner now. This is tough. How am I going to tell the church I'm going through this trial? Or how am I going to tell the pastor, I'm just going to sink into that corner over there and hopefully get over with, and then I'll go back to serve the Lord strongly. Okay, that's not how it works. When Paul was doing his missionary work, do you think he took a vacation every time he had a trial? No, he got into prison, and he started writing the Bible. Right? He went into a trial, and he just did great things out of that trial. See, believe in yourself. Even in a trial, you can do great things in there. Man, that was good too. Even in a trial, you can do great things. Yeah, I didn't write that one down, so I can always listen to the CD, I guess, or the website. So the last one, statements, things that God will do in trials for you. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Keep your eyes and heart on God. I'm still looking for Hebrews chapter 12. Here it is. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So no matter what you're going through in your race, know that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of everything. You can believe in you this morning because God believes in you. He believes in you. The last thing I have there on your notes, on your handout, you can believe in you because God believes in you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says he will never leave you or forsake you. In Genesis 15, 1, it says that he is your shield. He is your shield. In Isaiah 41, 10, it says, I will strengthen you. And in Isaiah 41, 10, it also says, I will help you. So the four P's, right? Their presence. His presence is with you, his protection is with you, his power is with you, and his provision is with you. message to